Let us move expeditiously and expositorily through our dissertation. Everyone, take your document. Ushers, make sure that those that don't have at least the excerpts will have those. Everyone, repeat after me. Scripture comprehensions of measures. The matrix. Today, let's go to the bottom of page 11. That's where we left off in our last outing. And there are several scriptures. I really don't know where to go this morning. Oh my God, there's so many that tie into what we are conveying here. The grace covenant is replete with this information. Let's very briefly touch Ephesians 1 and 11. And then we will go to Titus chapter 3, verse 9. And just for a minute, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Hopefully we'll go Ephesians 1 and 11, 1 Corinthians 2 and 6, and then hopefully time will permit us. Titus chapter 3, verse 9. It all ties basically together here. We're into the section, and those who are watching by way of the webcast or listening through our audio, in the section there of our website, audio, there is an icon and you can click on it, both also in the webcast. This document, comprehension, scripture comprehensions of measures, the icon and this entire document will be available to you and follow us. We are in this section. Does physical secular measures abide in any semblance to reality? In other words, the thing that you are dealing with out there each day, the things that you're encountering, the things that are driving you nuts, crazy, things that's causing you so much trepidation, is it real? Is it really, really real? We give the example of those that may be sitting in a theater wearing 3D goggles, and whatever's on the screen before you, it puts you squarely in there, virtually, but not really. If it gets too intense, you can do like I did. I was sitting in a theater in there, and gave the virtuality of you riding in a canoe and got to the waterfall, and that thing dropped off, and with the stomach problems that I have, I yanked those goggles off. So nuts to this. I'll put an end to this right now. This is what life is doing to us. The reality of life is in the essence of God's purpose. And what we have done is we are operating in the process without knowledge of the purpose. The processes of life is the virtuality. God's purpose in life is the reality. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, Deacon Gavin is our designated reader this morning. Just read that one verse, Brother Deacon, we really kind of pressed for time this morning. You all won't give me but an hour. Amen. All right. Everyone has that has Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Amen. All right. Read.
Reading from the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, the 11th verse, King James Version. In whom also we have an inheritance.
We have done what now?
We have an inheritance.
No, read what he's got there in the King James.
Yes. We have obtained
inheritance. And we'll straighten that out. You see, when we get to the, when we exegete, we'll straighten that out. I know why you admit it. Amen. But when we say King James, we're going to quote exactly what's there. Then we go to the Greek and straighten it out. All right? Read.
Being predestinated.
See what I'm talking about? Go ahead.
According to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will.
I'm misunderstanding of the first part of that verse. Is incompatible with the last part. The first part has us responsible for doing something or accomplishing something on the basis that we have done something, we have earned something, we have grasped something, we have somehow conquered something, we obtained something, we got something. And has it in time. Now let's go to the Greek and we'll straighten all of that out.
Now Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11 interlineal Greek text. In whom also we were chosen.
Say it again.
We were chosen.
That's all it says there. In okay. Is in whom also ekleroth to me. We were chosen. It didn't say anything about obtaining something, did it?
No.
And that's what got all messed up. Because if there's anything out in this world that I got to go do, it's, that thing is shaky.
Amen.
And every day people get up, I gotta do this today, I gotta get this done, and if it doesn't happen, then we're all messed up. This has got to be a certain way, and that's not what it said. Keep reading, Brother Deacon.
We were chosen as inheritance.
No.
Being.
I'm not telling you I'm saying to what's there. We were chosen. Period. Did he put an asterisk there? No, he didn't. We were chosen. Let's break the Greek word down. Ek means what?
Out.
Klero meaning chosen. We were chosen out. Because to be chosen, you have to be taken out of something, right? We were chosen out. Period. All right, read.
Being predestinated.
Stop. Brother Deacon, you got your Greek lexicon there, right?
Yes.
What is that word?
Aorist
participle. Loudly, what is that?
An aorist participle.
Aorist participle. Passive voice. The Greek word there is Pro-oris thing das. Pro means what? before. Orizo means what? To set the boundaries or limits. Foreordained. Not being predestinated. We can say predestinated, but foreordained. Aorist tense. What's aorist tense? Completed action. You see, anytime you enter the first chapter of Ephesians, this is all about God's eternal accomplishments in eternity. We are the benefits of it, but no way is it possible that we're doing anything to receive anything. In fact, anytime you go into our gospel, the grace contract, Paul's epistles, and they start talking about somebody doing something to get something, you stop. Blow a whistle. That's a red flag.
Amen.
In the grace covenant and grace gospel, you never do something to get something.
Never.
Why? Because it's already done. From eternity. Finish it up.
According to purpose.
Say it again.
According to purpose.
Uh-huh.
Of the one or of the all things operating.
According to the purpose of all things operating how?
According to the counsel of the will.
According to the counsel.
Of the will of him.
Of his will. So everything moves according, listen this morning, so that you'll know how things are operating.
Right.
Do not mix up the process as an independent entity.
Nope.
The process depends upon God's purpose. That thing shows up because God has use for it.
Come on.
Many times we're praying and asking God to move the mountain without understanding why the mountain is there in the first place.
I hear you.
God didn't place it there to move it. He placed it there to use it.
Amen.
If you understand that, then you won't have so many bad days. Because something didn't go down the way you thought it should. All right. Let's, again, we're at the bottom of page 11. Everybody got your documents, amen.
Amen.
Thus, physical secular measures, the matrix, abide in any semblance to reality. That is what's going on there. Is it real within itself? Are things real within themselves? Something happened. We were at a funeral this week, homecoming for a young lady only 34 years old. And I kept hearing why. Which is akin to what is this? And the real question is, what is this for? What is God's purpose in it? And you know, no matter what happens, it's okay because God's purpose has brought it about. Follow us as we again go into this. Various illustrations. Are you with me here? See where I am? Everyone see where I am? Various illustrations and perceptions and physical secular measures exhibit what may seem interruptingly existential. Conversely, scripture fidelity codifies or regulates what solely are reflectors of its validation. Look at the thing and it looks one way, and then you look into the scripture, then the scripture show you, and after you look at it from the vertical standpoint of God's word, then it looks different. Because of the vantage point that you're viewing it. In actuality, nothing solid is played in the cosmic venue, that is in the world, can genuinely establish authenticity. Nothing is within itself. Nothing is within itself. Nothing operates of its own modus operandi. In this illumination, even though physicality exerts what resonates visually, the non-reliability of such inevitable incidents as though life isn't real. And see, when you're looking at that thing and that's all you're looking at, after a while it becomes almost surreal, doesn't it? You say, wow, I can't believe this. You say, wow, this is blowing my mind. This is crazy. I don't understand this. You see, we have started an aphorism around here, and I want you to repeat after me. It's in God's saying.
It's in God's saying.
Not the seeing.
Not seeing.
So it's not in the seeing, it's in God's saying. In other words, you want answers. You can't explain physicality and secularity with physicality and secularity. You won't get the answer just looking at that thing. You've got to go into some of y'all look at me straight. You gotta go into the Word of God. To give some sense to it.
Yes, yes.
Otherwise, to you it will be nonsensical. Let's move on. In a sense, one might even pinch oneself to converse the verity or truth of one's own pain. I know this is real because I feel it. Yet such is not, it's still not convincingly causality in purpose within itself. The pain has a purpose. Otherwise, if the pain is inexplicable, it has no realness to it. So it's real because I feel it. That's not enough.
All right, now.
What is God's purpose? Everybody said purpose.
Purpose.
Moving on, hence the source programmer is attributable to eternality's sphere. It's not only the leading but sole input of realism. So God is the source. God is the source of my problem. Well, it is a problem because you don't understand the purpose. But yes, God is the source of your purpose problem. It showed up because he had use for it. Oh, I know we don't think that way. Like, oh, the devil this and of course the devil has his role. That's what he was created for.
Yes. Yes.
To be an instigator.
Amen.
But he is only a component in the design of God's purpose.
That is it. That is
and so whatever you are dealing with on a daily basis, it is designed from eternity for God's purpose.
Hallelujah.
Well, I don't know what it is. Someone said to me, "Well, God hasn't shown me the purpose." What? I said, "He may not, and because it's not your purpose, it's His purpose."
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Our role is to trust Him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we say we trust God. I've learned to lean. I've learned to trust in Jesus. We sing so. We don't mean that.
I hear you.
We don't mean that.
Amen.
Trust in God is trust Him to do what we want.
Yeah.
No, trust in God is to trust His purpose.
Amen.
And to say amen,
amen
to His will.
Amen.
Now, if that's not true, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You wonder why they don't fool around in Paul's epistles? Because if you go there, you've got to deal with what's there.
Amen.
Instead of just reading something out of context and then run back to Deuteronomy to explain it. That's like having a calculus problem and going to arithmetic to solve it. We were here last week in that first chapter. Today, let's just look at it. That second chapter. Let's start in the first verse.
We're reading from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2.
Everybody got that? Amen? Read.
King James Version, beginning verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God.
And I'm talking about the things of God. All human wisdom goes out the window. Verse 2.
For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen. Everything starts with salvation. And once we get correctly the workings of that, you're ready to go into life. Because whatever you think about salvation is what you're going to take you down into life.
Amen.
If you're shaky about salvation, automatically you're shaky about life. Read.
Verse 3, and I was with you in weakness.
Here he's giving his personal testimony.
And in fear.
Mm-hmm.
And in much trembling.
Uh-huh.
And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words.
And while I was going through that.
Of man's wisdom.
My testimony to you was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, physicality, secularity.
But
what?
In demonstration of the Spirit and of power.
What? In the power of God. That's what we're sitting up here. We're standing here this morning and we're going through these scriptures. And we're saying it's not about what we see.
Right.
It's about what God has said. Even if what we see stands paradoxical to what God has said. Which one are we going to go with?
What God has said.
No brainer. That is God's people. Now, I'm not talking about the world.
Mm-hmm.
This is why the preaching of the cross
is
foolishness to so many.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what we're talking about this morning as we go through this scripture, that's foolishness to many. Saying, oh man, every man responds for himself. You got to make that thing happen yourself. And then when it doesn't, you all messed up. You're confused, you're frustrated. You're wondering. I did my best.
Mm-hmm.
I tried my hardest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I worked on that thing.
Yeah.
And it collapsed. Think about the time when you didn't do anything and it came out beautiful. Because the process is captivated by purpose. God's purpose. Now let's get into the sixth verse. Everybody with us. I'm trying this morning. Verse 5, I'm sorry.
That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Let's go to the Greek there.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. Interlinear Greek text. In order that the faith of you,
your faith,
may not be in wisdom of men.
All right, that's me, E. Brother Deacon, that, what is that? It's a junket. E.
All right.
B. Okay, so as you're going through, your faith is not focused. It's not a matter of focusing your eyes. You see, you don't need faith. Your eyes will work in opposition to faith.
Sure will.
So while you're going through it, your faith is not in what you see. Your faith is in what you know. And what do we know? We know what scripture enlightenment gives us. And if you don't live that way, you're in for a roller coaster ride. You're in for butterflies, knots in your stomachs, headaches. You're for long. You're frustrated. You're disillusioned. That's what happens when your eyes take the lead in the communication to your spirit. This is why in our gospel, in our contract, it clearly states that we walk by what? Faith, what? Not what is about, not by sight, we don't understand. Not by seeing. Read.
Now verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
Interlinear Greek text. But wisdom we speak among the perfect ones. Yet wisdom not of this age, neither of the leaders of this age, of the being brought to naught.
Okay, now you're reading from the Greek. Did you read from the King James first? I want to do a comparative analysis here.
From the King James Version, 1 Corinthians 2:6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect.
Go ahead.
Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught.
All right. Let's from the Greek text read that.
1 Corinthians 2:6, interlinear Greek text.
But
wisdom we speak among the perfect ones, yet wisdom not of this
holy,
age.
Holy, stop. You said, Pastor, you go slow and you go through all of this meticulousness, go through all of this, all of these exercises of exegesis, and it's just boring and so forth. Don't you want to know what it's actually saying? When you read your Bible, do you want the actual ultimateness of it? I mean, is it that important to you? One of the greatest blessings of all is to pick up this Bible and have the correct comprehension of what is conveying to you. Because it will help you. Otherwise, if you don't get it right, it will confuse you.
Oh, yes.
That's phrase of that verse reads Sophion Fe Lalumi in Tis Teleis. That is translated, and we proclaim wisdom in completions. If it's real, it's completed. And we proclaim wisdom in completions. What we say is everything is complete. Everything is already done. And that's exactly what Paul said here. And so you know you're talking about things as they are, not materialized, but actualized in eternality. It's done. Your tomorrow is done. Whatever you're going to do. Rest of the day and tomorrow and the next day. It's done. I mean, I learned a ton that day I walked into Mother Goodloe Johnson's room, and she's laying there about to have a very, very serious procedure. And she's all calm, and I'm looking at the indicators, and she's a cool customer. And I said, Mother, you seem mighty calm. And she said, Pastor, I said, didn't you teach us that it's already done? I said, yes, ma'am. Said, why should I be laying here worried about something that's already done? Oh, if we could live our lives that way.
Amen.
We wouldn't have to hit the aspen ball and the leave and the... I'm not speaking against medicines now. Somebody always take that run on the way. But I'm saying, hey, this knowledge will help you. Oh, we sing the song, "Ease, victory will help you, some of it to win." We don't mean that.
That's true.
Amen.
You'll be just like the children of Israel.
Yeah.
They went across through the Red Sea on dry ground, got on the other side, had church.
Yeah.
I mean, Miriam and the sisters, they had the tambourines. Woo, boy. They had a great meeting, didn't they? Huh?
Amen.
3 days. Into the wilderness. I'm hungry.
Yep.
I forgot all about that that experience. That Red Sea experience is gone.
Yeah.
This is why we must pay the most earnest heed to the things that we've already heard. Otherwise, they get away from us.
Yeah.
This is why over and over and over again, this has to be reiterated into our spirits. The idea is that it become indelibly impressed into your spirits, etched in stone. So that when that thing comes next time, the Word of God is right there to say, oh, you're not going anywhere with this with me. Not today. Read.
Again from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
But wisdom we speak
in completions.
In completions.
Uh-huh.
Yet wisdom not of this age.
Uh-huh.
Neither of the leaders of this age.
Of the authority of this age. Not of the rule of this age. In other words, this wisdom is complete. Everything in this age is tentative. Everything in this age is a work in process. Everything thing is moving and changing. What he does is he's juxtaposing the wisdom of God with the wisdom of man. And when you compare the wisdom of God with the wisdom of man, they are opposites. The wisdom of God is real. The wisdom of men, synthetic. The wisdom of God, complete. Wisdom of men, their workings and process. Like we was reading in the pastor's pen this morning, you know, the difference there. What is revered and counted on in one age comes foolishness in the next. The world was once thought to be flat. And at the center of the universe. Now even scientists, according to the world, and I'm saying this in relationship as it aligns with the Word of God. Not the Word of God aligns with scientism. As scientism aligns with the Word of God. Because it's now known that the earth is nothing but a little dot in a solar system that is a little dot in a galaxy that is nothing but a little dot in a universe that's while it's in him, it doesn't even come close to filling him up. All things were created in him.
In him. That's right.
Not by him. By him is remote. In him.
Right.
It's composed of that which he is. And what he has done is for his purpose. Otherwise, there's so many things out there that would mess you up until it's not even funny.
I hear you.
Now here we are, heirs of God, sons of God, heirs of God, heirs of that which belongs to Christ. And we walk around frustrated. Because of what we're looking at. Everything concerning him is complete.
Amen.
You go to the first chapter of Ephesians, that which we just read one verse from this morning. Everything in there is complete. Completed actions. Everywhere you turn, you got the aorist tense. It's done. And we're looking in time, and we're looking in the matrix, and we're looking in manifestations. And to us, what they depict are actions in progress. Things that are moving along. And that wouldn't be so bad if they were moving along with some guaranteed end. But no, they're all susceptible to alterations, to change. Everything is morphed in the cosmos. Is that what you really want to depend upon? When you have the Word of God to depend upon? You got that which is actualized, that which is manifested. That which is actualized is eternal, forever, done. And that which is manifested is temporary. And you got something that's temporary, you got something that's eternal. Should be a no-brainer, shouldn't it?
It should be.
But that's not how the depraved mind works. And so this has to be constantly brought before us. Because this is God's working and His ways and His means and His methods. And who's going to argue with God's comportments? Only the fool. God's ways are best. God's ways are the only way.
Amen.
All right. Did you finish that? Oh, no. That's right. We didn't get it. Go ahead. Finish it up.
The wisdom neither of the leaders of this age, as the wisdom of the leaders of this age, of the being brought to naught.
See, here that last phrase reads, tutotong katagumene. Manang, katagumanang. It reads, those that are useless. We use that word this morning in the pastor's pen.
Amen.
In another form. The root word is akrios. Akrios. Useless. Here, as that translate down, we get the word in you. In you. In utero. In utero. It's a word that's not hardly used that much in the English language anymore. But basically, it means that which is ineffective. In utility. When you say utility of Christos, that which is profitable, useful. You know, when Paul said, send Mark unto me because he is what? He's useful, profitable. That's the word he used. The antithesis of that would be akrios. We would say in utility. That which is the opposite of useful. And this is how we can describe everything that's in the cosmos. Unless you annex it and tie it and intertwine it with that which should be inextricable, the tie to it. And that is God's purpose. Don't try to deal with process without purpose.
Come on here. Come on. Amen. Oh, amen.
Not what is this, but what? What is this for? You think things are crazy? They'll get even more. Crazier.
Yes.
More crazy, however you want to structure that. So you can't just be looking at the thing itself. See again what he said? That which is the wisdom of God is in completions. Everything else is useless. If you don't look at this thing in completed form, instead of that moment, that hour, that situation, it's going to drive you crazy.
Yeah.
And men of God's people that's born in the basket cases because of how we are viewing life. God help us. Those that he has decreed to know, they will sit under teaching that will take you above and beyond what's around you.
Amen.
And everything will be transmundane. Mundane means what? Worldly. Trans means what? Above it. That means beyond our little microcosm. We think our world, our little world, is what we're in, and that's all it is. And that's all we see. And that's the only thing that affects us.
Oh.
Paul's in prison. But he wasn't in that cell. He said, I'm a prisoner, all right. But I'm a prisoner of the Lord. I'm not a prisoner of those that have locked this, that have locked these doors in this cell. And you know, Paul understood that, because a little earlier, as in Acts, that was another time he was in jail. And what happened? The doors, the earthquake came and the doors were flung open. And the jailer came up, he was ready to kill himself, because he knew what they were going to do to him. They weren't just going to kill him, they were going to torture him, so it was better for him to die quick. And he said, don't harm yourself, man. We're here. We're here. In other words, in manifestation, we're here, but we were never locked up.
I hear you.
Many of us think that we're locked up to our situation.
Come on here.
Oh no, you're free. You're free indeed. Oh my God, we're free. We're delivered. Remember what he said? Wisdom in completions. All right. With a little time we've got, I guess we won't get to Titus today. Let's go back to our document then. We'll end up there. In this illumination, about the middle of that paragraph at the bottom of page 11, even though physicality exerts what resonates visually, the non-reliability of such inevitably incident as though life isn't real. One might even pinch oneself to converse the verity of truth for one's own pain, and yet such is still not convincingly causality and purpose within itself. Hence the source programmer is attributable to eternalist's fear as not only the leading but sole input of realism.
Right.
That's what we stop for. Just because things, listen, just because things seem and are feel authentically in resonation, does this in any way regulate or codify their pragmatism? Is this really truly pragmatic because that's the way you feel? What is grasped solely in this specificity is unlikely to afford some answers. Humanly perceived measuring in this orb does not exhibit conversions leading determinately to what reliably resides. Amazingly, I'm at the top of the page now. Tentative journeys through the terrain of temporality are recorded in scope theaters of vicious circles in no-win situations. That's what you got going for you if all you're doing is using the eyes.
Amen.
Physical secular measures, the matrix, resonation audience. That's the audience you're in. Not ever sure that they are reliably discerning in times tongues. You see that picture there? Here's, you're there, and you know the terminology we use, problems on every hand, problems on every side, on the left and the right. You know the enemy on the left and the right. But here, as you go through time, you're in a tongue. You got problems coming up from beneath and from above. And if that's your only resolution, it's going to squeeze you. Paul writes in another place, and be not conformed or squeezed into, amen, the patterns of thought of this world,
right,
but be transformed.
Glory.
How? By the renewing of your minds. It is the word of God that draws you. Paul said all things are lawful. Of course, he didn't use the Greek word lawful.
Thanks.
No. Mm-mm. Saying they are there in resonations. They are there in processes. But all things are expedient. What it is, because that's what it seems to be.
All right.
That's what he's saying. The determination is not in the seeing, but in the same.
Thank God.
Pastor, you say we'll not deal with the things that before. Absolutely. But deal with them from the knowledge of God's eternal decree. And working. It starts with salvation.
Yes.
It starts with salvation.
Hallelujah.
We didn't get to Titus today, but we'll start there next week. But it starts with salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Your understanding of salvation makes you candidate to go through life in the same confidence that you would have having been drawn to salvation. Either completely discombobulated because of the things that you don't understand. Trying to walk by sight will kill you.
Hallelujah.
Walking by sight will mess you up. Walk by sight, most of your days are going to be bad. They're going to be tough. Everybody said time's tongue. It is strictly in this sense that their induced periodicals can most effectively be described as unwelcome commodities in mass marketed illusion making. That's what your sight does for you. It becomes an illusion maker. Erotic instances of often perceived reviews resemble exhilaratingly and breathtakingly. You know, you've fallen off that cliff, right? What merely describe the appeal that lulls in unique combinations of ineffective material actions alongside their actualized interests. The minute I snatched those goggles off, I was no longer going over that cliff.
That's right.
Using that analogy.
That's right.
And there were people in the theater that was still hollering. Aah!
Come on here.
I said, not me.
Hallelujah.
I will subject my stomach to that. See, what we're saying here, these are ineffective material actions alongside their actualized influence. You got the process mixed up with the purpose. And that thing is killing you. But God is a God of purpose. And that nothing that happens is without purpose. The thing is, do we trust him? I guess I just finished this paragraph and we'll take up next week. I don't know when we get through this. I'm not even worried about that anymore. No use to go on to page 10 if you don't have page 9 down pat, right?
I hear you.
All right. The castings reveal unreliable sequences as such become luminary. Some maneuver in amazing special effects, as we've just described, but never sufficiently articulate in explicating or explaining their distortedly perceived actions, and that such require more than humanly discerned incidents. The depraved spectators, misconstrued as clever, were the merely crafts of the design exploits of testimonial manifestations. They are there for reason. They're there for purpose. Listen. For some of us that will receive this, because God has decreed that we receive it. Life is not going to wear us out.
Amen.
Life is not going to confound us.
Glory.
Life is not going to beat us down.
Glory.
Life is not going to cause us to live in such hopelessness. In such hopelessness. God's people who are recipients of such a blessed hope, living in the mindset of hopelessness. No! We are going to take the true words of the song. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Holy, can you say holy? Completely, can you say completely? Absolutely, can you say absolutely? Lead on Jesus' name. Oh Christ, can you say Christ? Can you say Christ? Oh Christ, the Son of righteousness. Oh, can you go? Can you go? All of the ground is useless. That is sinking sands. We'll take it up next week. God bless you.